Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole. Will T. Ray Jeezy is out, man. You know, NBA action is fantastic, bruh. Like, the something about the Garden, Will T, right?
Yeah, man, it was electric. Sunday, having a playoff game, you know, especially a closely contested playoff game between the Knicks and the Hawks. You know, ultimately, I'm pretty sure people who follow the NBA by now know the end of that, know the score to the end of that game.
Yeah.
The Hawks won.
Yeah.
But if you just watch that whole game, man, it was very nostalgic.
Yes.
For anyone who was a fan of the NBA during the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when on NBC, you had the Sunday afternoon games with the Knicks versus the Bulls, or, you know, just Knicks versus Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Just any big-time game that the Knicks were playing, man, and just to hear the Garden, you know, be that loud and it not be filled to capacity, man, it was amazing. And I just can't wait for game two of that series.
I know. It's just, to me, it just makes you appreciate. We were enjoying the bubble experience last season in the postseason. It was cool, you know, like we were talking about having afternoon basketball games and this, that, and the other. But when you're looking at just watching what we saw at the Garden and even some of these other venues, right? Not just the Garden, but that the Garden was the extreme, right? That was the extreme. That just brought you back. So I totally agree with you, Will. But just to have people there to cheer, you know, the momentum swings in a basketball game and hearing that, because it gets you amped, right? It gets you excited. So even watching, I'm a Lakers fan, seeing the Suns and see how their fan, you know, the fan support for that team being at their first real postseason game, I don't know how long, and then to see how, you know, Devin Booker responded, how Chris Paul came up big even though he was hurt, and see just hearing the roar of the crowd. I mean, a playoff game with the crowd, the crowd in attendance, just watching and viewing it, just makes the NBA game so much better.
Yeah, man. You know how people say that the fans don't bring anything to the game.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, you could play outside on the playground with no fans,
mm-hmm.
and it would still have the same effect. That's bull.
It is.
It's complete bull, man. Right. Having the fans in there, helping to create an atmosphere, you know, with the with the game day electronic
mm-hmm.
electronic displays, and, you know, the fan hitting the roar of the fans, man, was amazing.
Yeah, man, I agree. I'm with you, and we're saying it as individuals watching it on TV. Could you imagine being a player? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
You definitely got to feed off of that energy.
Yeah, exactly. And the urban sports scene is part of Empire Media, and that's Empire Media. And you can catch it at AmpireMedia.com. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports shows, podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news, health, and of course, the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all about Empire shows as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page if you have any comments about the podcast or you want to have any feedback. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group, search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Getting to our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Wizards' first round playoff series with the Philadelphia 76ers. The Wizards are down 1-0 in the series at 8:25. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs and the homie Kwame Brown Above the Rim podcast. Just Blaze will be on the show to discuss this. Finally, we'll talk boxing. It was announced that Manny Pacquiao will be fighting Errol Spence August 21st. And it was also announced that Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury will go down July 24th. But first, in the first round of the NBA playoffs, the Wizards are down, like I mentioned, 1-0 to the Sixers. The next game is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time because we East Coast. What were your thoughts of game one, Will T?
Let me see. Where to start? it became clearly evident midway through the first quarter that there is no physical matchup on the Wizards that can contend with Joel Embiid, in my opinion. Now, I know some people will say Robin Lopez, but just from a lateral movement perspective, Robin Lopez, in my opinion, can't keep up step for step during the duration of the game with Joel Embiid. That's one. Two, it's going to be interesting to see how the Wizards are, you know, because for the last month and a half, this team, you know, offensively has primarily been Beal and Westbrook. With Ben Simmons matching up with either one of those guys, it'll be interesting to see how Scott Brooks tries to, how he utilizes those guys with that matchup against Ben Simmons. And number three, I'm really starting to become a Daniel Gaffer fan, man.
Yeah, I see, right?
I think he's one of the guys that's going to be a bright spot for this team for a few years to come. But he's physically outmatched by Joel Embiid, and he has little to no chance of containing him.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ben Simmons, you get to see the value of Ben Simmons, right? A lot of people, have some guys here locally that, you know, really don't understand the value of Ben Simmons. I've heard certain folks say that Ben Simmons is overrated. But when you look at what he does defensively and you see what he does offensively in terms of getting players involved, there was numerous of a key assist that he did have in the series where you can say, oh, wow, man. I mean, in game one where, you know, they were leading the key threes. So Ben Simmons will be an issue. But for the Wizards standpoint, I'm interested to see what they're going to do outside of Beal and Westbrook, because we know this, and we talked about this before, like in the postseason, you know, you may like to run it and push pace, and that's what you want to go by. And that's what you want to, you know, it sounds good, but in the postseason, you need a half court game, right? You know, pace is great and all, but when you play a good defensive team, and the Sixers are a good defensive team, you're going to have to execute in the half court. You can't always try to out-tempo somebody, especially when you're playing the good defenses of the NBA. And you're going to see, and when you're in the postseason, the problem is you're going to run across that type of team. And that's what the Wizards have in game one. It's not as if they're playing, say, the Brooklyn Nets, who aren't the best defensive team. You're playing against arguably the best defensive team in basketball in the Philadelphia 76ers when you have a guy that can maintain that middle in Joel Embiid, and then you have one of the best perimeter defenders in Ben Simmons. And we're not even talking about Thybul, who's the young dude who straps up too. So they have defenders everywhere on that basketball team. So that's the thing that Bradley Beal, they're going to have to find ways to get Bradley Beal loose and get him into some favorable matchups. I think that, you can try to get Bradley Beal ISO on Embiid, maybe on high screen and rolls. You can try to do that. But again, when it comes to half court set, you got to get more people involved other than Westbrook and Beal. So I think for real, just to kind of get it away from all on Bradley Beal, so people don't load up on Bradley Beal, find sets, like I mentioned before, to get Rui Hachimura involved. You know what I mean? Because that will take pressure off Bradley Beal. That takes pressure off Westbrook. And, you know, you saw that a little bit in game one. Hopefully they go back to it a little bit more in game two.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Who stood out from you outside of Beal? Of course, Beal and Westbrook. Who stood out for this team?
I like Ish Smith, man. I thought Ish was good. I thought Ish set tempo. He did push it, and I felt like he got players involved. I thought that even on made baskets, he tried to, you know, he answered quick going to the basket. I was really impressed with Ish Smith. it's a tough team they're playing against. You know what I mean? I could, you know, and there's other individuals who played well. Davis Bertans got a little hot in that game too. And you mentioned Gaffer, but to me, Ish Smith stood out to me.
Yeah. it's the small things, you know, when you watch a game and you see, you know, especially if you a team like the Wizards who, for all intents and purposes, are outmatched.
Yeah.
But a guy like Ish Smith, who, you know, was playing, you know, during his time on the floor, I believe he played like 23 minutes. Mm-hmm. He played with pretty good tempo, and the team was actually, I believe, you know, I thought played up to this guy, Davis Bertans.
Yeah.
You know, he was 4-for-8 from 3-point, from three-point land. Mm-hmm. He had a block. He actually had an assist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he had, I think, like 5 rebounds. So, his play was something I didn't expect, but it was much needed, and he'll need to keep that consistently and go even be even better.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow when the Wizards play the 76ers. But I just can't wait for this team to come back to D.C. for a home playoff game. I think that's going to be exciting. I think it's going to get a buzz in the city.
How many people will be – are they at 50%? What are they in terms of that type of –
I think, like, if I'm not mistaken, I think they can have, like, 10 – I want to say 10,000, I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
5 or 10,000, somewhere in between there. Not 100% sure, so mm-hmm. I don't want to put the wrong information out there. But it'll just be interesting, man. I want to see if this team, you know, gets the support that it deserves to host a home playoff game. You know, this team has really fought back over the past 2 months just to get to this point.
Mm-hmm. No, they have, and I agree. I think going back to, you know, who performed well, you mentioned Davis. I like, and that's a good point. I think Davis did play. He did, and I mentioned he played well. But what I liked about Davis, he played with an edge. You know what I mean? He had a dunk. You know what I'm saying? He just wasn't shooting threes. That's the criticism I think we both have about him and that contract. It's like, okay, you're paying this man this amount of money just to shoot threes and to shoot it on a curl, and that's about it, right? That's what the issue was with you, and I think everybody, even Ray included. But in this game in the playoffs, I saw some physicality. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't backing down. He was about to get into a melee. Into, I don't want to say a fight, but get into something with a particular with a Sixers player. I can't think of the player actually right now, but he was about to get in. He got into a Sixers player's face. He had the dunk. So he just played with some physicality, which I do like. I think when you come to the postseason, man, you're playing against the bullies on the block in the 76ers. So you gotta bring it. Everybody has to bring it. No one on that team should be playing scared. No one really believes they can beat the Sixers. So you're playing with house money.
Yeah, it's gonna take a team effort. Mm-hmm. It's gonna take everyone giving their best. It's gonna take Scott Brooks and his coaches coming up with a better scheme defensively for the 76ers, whether that is, you know, doubling Embiid or, well, myself personally.
Yeah, but
I would let Embiid's going to have to beat me. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to beat me, and he's going. I have Alex Lynn. I have Robin Lopez. I have Daniel Gafford, and I can even maybe. On some instances, get away with Davis Bertans, checking him. He's going to have to earn it. And in the process, he's going to get banged up, right? I'm not letting those other guys beat me because I think when you double Embiid, and he's able to kick it out to a guy like Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons kind of penetrates into the lane, and then he'll be able to find the open guy for an open three. And they have, you know, you and I were having this conversation. I don't necessarily trust guys who, you know, the others per se on that 76ers squad. With Danny Green and
Curry.
Steph Curry to be consistent, but I'm not going to give them opportunity to get open looks. So I'm going to play Embiid one-on-one and see where it takes me and see how I hold up.
Yeah, see, I just didn't like the way they doubled. I heard Jason Smith say it on their post-game show, the Wizards post-game show, so I'm not going to, like, steal it. But I agree with them. It's just the way they doubled. It was like they weren't sure if they were going to double or not, right? They were indecisive of when they should double, and they doubled. It was like a half-ass double, right? It wasn't like an all-the-way double team. So to me, if you're going to double and be, then you got to go hard at it. Like, you got to make sure you get there quick. That way you make an aggressive double that then the pass isn't as crisp, because he was finding dudes easy. Like, it wasn't even hard. Some of the passes he had to make out of the double, like, he could find Steph Curry in eye view for open three. I mean, he had one where Ben Simmons had an easy cut for a dunk off the double. Like, I'm talking about stuff that you see in Boys and Girls AAU type of thing. Like, it was that easy of a pass for an NBA player. So I would just say, if they're going to double more aggressively, you know what I'm saying? That would be my thing. But yeah, I would start off, singling up on Embiid. I mean, just start off with that. And if that works, go with it. That way, you know that you can take away the shooters. You know what I'm saying? Like to your point, Will, you already know Embiid's going to get his regardless, even if you double him though, real talk, he's going to get his regardless. So, I totally agree with you.
Well, it's not just, and if you do double, mm-hmm. you have to, I guess, when you play Embiid on the post, you have to play him at different angles, mm-hmm. right? Not just, maybe you front him sometimes, maybe you play behind him, and when the double team comes, maybe the double team comes from the baseline, mm-hmm. maybe it comes from the elbow, maybe it comes, off a rotation from someplace else. Mm-hmm. So you have to bury it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know where the double team is coming. And also he can't predict, you know, when you play him a certain way, whether that's front in the post or playing from behind mm-hmm. him, or whether it's playing a zone, he'll be able to detect where the double team is coming from.
No, I totally agree. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Ampire Media, AmpireMedia.com. All right, so if the Wizards are to win game two, who needs the ball out? The game is tomorrow night.
Rui?
Okay.
Rui Hachimura.
He had 12. I think he had like 12 on Sunday. So how much would he have to get? Or is it a point thing? Because he only had limited shots too.
I think he has to get more shot,
mm-hmm.
And create, a urgency on the defense that, when he does have the ball, that, that they play him differently, mm-hmm. right? Where they don't just play off of him on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
No, right. I think Rui has to get, mm-hmm. 20 plus.
Okay.
He has to be like a 2010, guy.
Oh, I agree.
If they're going to have success.
All right, no, I agree with that. I agree with that opinion. So I posted this question on our social media platforms. This was posted on our Twitter, our Urban Sports Team Twitter page, and on Facebook. On Twitter, at Trev Stores WFT says, Rui, Russ, Gafford, and Beal. Yeah, all the dudes have to stay. I would add Bertans in that too. I mean, I think Bill is, I think you pretty much know what you're going to get from Bill. I don't really think that. I think Bill is going to do what he does. My man Cameron, what's going on, Cameron? Said on Twitter, said, I'm going to say Rui and Gafford. Both of them got their first playoff game out their belt. So I expect them both to play well in game two.
And to expect and what you hope for.
I know. Facts. And also, man, on Facebook, Joe Bradford said, Bertans, given his minutes, if he doesn't score, it is more difficult for us to win. And also, Edward Tober said, I would give Gil a try. Oh, yeah, Gil from Virginia. Give him a try. Edward, he also said, bench Bertans. Then maybe he'll get his butt in gym and get more shots up this year and last year. Last year are like night and day. Yeah, a lot of folks, but Bertans played well in game one. So we can't, he played well in game one.
Yeah, I mean, he played decently.
Yeah. So
he played decent. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't complain and say he was well. I mean, I also have a pretty low level.
Yeah,
of
yeah, I know. I'm about to say. It's not like you think the highest of returns, right, Will T?
Yeah.
No, but yeah, for me, I think it has to be Rui. I do agree. I think Rui has to get 20 and 10. I mean, 20, but an impactful 20. And I think he has to do score in a variety of different ways. I mean, just own the game. And I don't always want to go with points because I think points aren't always the best indicator of how someone is playing. Because you can have 30 and jack up 100 shots to get 30. But I do think you have to have an impact in scoring. Like, you have to be efficient. And you do have, for his point, for Rui, since we do see, I think he was on, say, 5 for 8 or something like that. He needs to get more shots, and he also needs to, you know, kind of feel himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell when a dude's playing with that edge and he feels like he's one of the better players on the court, he's going to have to play that way. Because he plays that way, they have an opportunity to beat him. Even to me, even if Rui plays well, it's not a guarantee, right?
No, absolutely not. The Sixers team is, from a talent perspective, on their roster, they just have better talent, in my opinion. And, they're playing more cohesively on the defensive end.
Yeah,
and playing with more energy and effort.
Yeah, man. So it's gonna be a tough one. But you know, if the Wizards were in this game, so they play. You know, they have anything to hang their hats on. They can say we were in the game. If we can do a couple things better, we can maybe pull off an upset and get a W in Philadelphia. But you know, Philly's probably saying something totally similar too. Embiid's not in foul trouble. We dominate that game, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So only time will tell, and we'll see. Tomorrow night it goes down, folks. So tune in. All right, host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, will join us to talk about the other NBA playoff matchups and Kwame Brown after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Yeah, are we doing this? Because I forget. Are we going back to this real quick, or are we not going to do this? I don't know. What are we doing, Will T?
I mean, we can.
Okay,
I mean,
hold on. Hold on. Let me go back. Hold on. I'm kind of hyped for this. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Oh, man. Just got a tear in my eye for this. Thank you.
Whatever.
Hold on.
It's just a public service announcement. Sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the O-Z. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the R-O-C, Ho. Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho, ho. Not D-O-C, but similar to them letters. No one could do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do. Take you back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do.
All right. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Will T. The homie Ray Jeezy is out. We're part of Empire Media. You know, I had to play that Just Blaze joint because I got my homie on here, man. So I had to like represent. All right. Right now, we have host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, on the line. What's good, homie? Just, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, yeah. What's good, my man?
Oh, apologies, my brother. I heard everything. I thought you heard me. Yeah, I appreciate the invite once again, my brother. You know, it's always a pleasure when you invite me on, man.
You know it, bro. You know it, man. It's a pleasure having you on, man. You know, NBA playoffs are back. Will and I were talking about before during the beginning of the show about just how it's a blessing to have fans back in attendance, especially the Garden. The Garden was on a whole different level. I think it just took over the whole show when it comes to basketball.
Yeah, it was electric in there, man, for sure. And I'm mad that I didn't get a ticket myself, man, because it was rocking in there. I tell you that. We haven't heard an arena that loud in a while, so that was very good to see. But you know what? It actually worked against them because it robbed up Trae Young, man. We know how that happens.
I know, man. Something about like light skinned dudes in the garden, man. Reggie, you know, something about that, bro. I tell you, man. Hey, but so before we get into the NBA, you know, playoff talks, we talked about a little bit, but let's talk about Kwame Brown cashing in all his receipts. For the folks who don't know, yeah. Kwame Brown was the Wizards' first pick overall. And, you know, a lot of people were going on him back in the day about him being a bust. And that included Stephen A. Smith, recently included Stephen Jackson, Matt Barnes, and Gilbert Arenas, just to name a few. But what were your thoughts on that whole situation?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, it definitely came out of left field. Mm-hmm. Because originally I didn't hear the original Stephen Jackson and Matt Barnes mm-hmm. podcast talking about him originally. Mm-hmm. So when I heard Kwame Brown was throwing shots, I said, "Uh-oh, what's happening? What's going on?" Mm-hmm. But when Kwame came in, he came in hot, man. He wasn't holding no punches. And you know what, too? I know it was a joke. A lot of it was a joke in the beginning, all of that, talking about Kwame looking for all the smoke. Mm. But he made some excellent points when he was talking about both of them and what they were saying about him and the points about Charlemagne, too, yeah. how they try to play his family, mm-hmm. which I didn't like also. So even though there was jokes to it, there's also some truth to this shit, too. So,
yeah, facts.
Shout out to Kwame for at least bringing some of that to light.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Will, what you think, bro?
It was like a car crash, man. Like, you know, seriously, right? Because, you know, you see it about to happen, but you can't take your eyes off of it just because for some reason you're so fixated on it, right? And you find whether that interest is, you know, you want to see the accident mm-hmm. or you kind of, I don't know how I can't think of the exact way I want to phrase it, but to hear a guy who, and like I told you, Wale, when you sent me the text, I said that's the first time I've ever heard Kwame Brown speak.
I know we from D.D. Right? Yeah. We live in the area, bro. We live in the area. We seen this.
We live in the area. I follow the Wizards. That's the first time I had ever heard his voice, ever heard him speak, but. There are a couple things about this, right? This is a guy who's been beaten down by people over the last 20 some odd years with people saying he's a bust. He's the worst, you know, potentially one of the worst number ones overall ever drafted. And once you hear that enough, and then you also had to deal with a guy who you considered your idol and Michael Jordan consistently beating you down, and then you had to go play with Kobe and probably had to deal with Kobe beating you down, and on top of the public, all of the criticism and the cynicism from them, he just said, man, enough is enough, I'm going to speak my piece. And he, you know, he took that opportunity and took his platform and he defended himself, and at the same time bullied people who were bullying him.
That's the truth, though. Like, to me, and Just Blaze, I was listening to your podcast about it, and I thought it was, like, what everybody said was pretty dope, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the thing about that whole situation, it's just like, you got dudes who think of themselves as, like, you know, being tough guys, and it's wild that, you know, no one thought of Kwame that way, right? No one initially thought of Kwame being, like, this. And I mean, he's 7 foot, so obviously, you know, I ain't saying he's soft, but no one thought about him that way before, right? But now you're talking about Matt Barnes, and everybody knows about Matt Barnes and Derek Fisher and what he did to Derek Fisher. You're talking about Stephen Jackson, and everybody knows about his stuff in Indiana. I'm not even talking about the malice in the palace. I'm just talking about what he was doing outside of, you know, playing ball. And you know about these dudes. And Kwame speaks up, and you could tell when somebody really wanted to smoke and when somebody act like they want it. And they backtracked a little bit. Like they backtracked. I don't even want to say a little bit. They backtracked. And so that let me know, like, oh. In NBA circles, they know, you know who's who and who's what. Like I always said, like you can tell by on the court, like Kenyon Martin, folks didn't want to mess with Kenyon Martin. Like you could tell, like you can read it and see it. Now I see with Kwame, like I watch, I'm like, oh, these dudes, oh, Kwame must really be about their life. Because these dudes ain't trying to check him. Like, they're not even really trying to check him. They're like, oh, you know what? He has a point. That's the first time I ever heard when somebody has been reckless and going at somebody and the initial response is, you know what? He's right. He has a point. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it's, and Gilbert Arenas, too. You saw how Gilbert Arenas backtracked real quick. Yeah. He said that he had to that he had to fight like 20 guards in the club just to get him out the club. So and to be honest though, we know Kwame Brown, he's a country boy, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
No, he's
so
a country
he
boy.
Sounds like, he sounds like one. So. Yeah. So I remember I looked in his IG and he had a he was playing with a couple sniper rifles and a couple like automatics in the backyard with his tractor. So I was like, oh, yeah, I see why they don't want the smoke. But, I mean, Matt Barnes did challenge him in the ring.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I doubt that. But, yeah, man, it's crazy because it was the first time I heard him talk, too. So he wasn't holding back, man.
But I do know that there is a difference, though. This is the thing. When you get public pressure, you're easily to respond to it. Like, to me, I really vibe when people's initial response to something like what Kwame stated. Like, when Kwame stated the first time, I was like, and how they responded back, that's their truest response. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's their truest response.
Yeah.
Now, everybody is going, when everybody's going in and saying, like, oh, Kwame got y'all, he got y'all, he got y'all, it forces you to respond a certain way. You get what I'm saying? Like, the whole face, the stay face. So that's why, like, you're right. Like, Matt Barnes did respond and said, yeah, we can go in the ring. But why? I mean, my thing is that Matt Barnes, knowing who we know Matt Barnes to be because of what we've seen him in the past, how come that wasn't the first response? You get what I'm saying? Like, how come that wasn't the first instinct to say that? So I'm like, is that more of a pressure thing because the public is like, yo, Kwame got you. What you going to do? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I agree with that. I think you're right about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what'd you say, Will?
I was just going to say one more thing I wanted to add. I guess the most disappointing thing for me is, right, when guys get to that level, just getting to the NBA, right? Like only 5% of the people who, you know, I think get that opportunity to play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's like a fraternity to me. It's like a fraternity, right? Not everyone's going to be accepted into that fraternity. And those who are actually making it into that fraternity, it should be a brotherhood because they know what the, you know, one, they probably have some crazy stories to tell about, you know, just playing in the NBA and their experiences. And two, they also know the dedication, the hard work, and the sacrifice it takes to make it there. And for to hear them kind of disparaging him and talking bad about him, it's one thing for us, right? We're fans. We're people who follow the game. I'm not going to say we're nobody, but, you know, compared to our lack of knowledge of what it takes and the sacrifice it took for them to get to that point, right? As deep or as knowledgeable as those guys, but to hear those guys kind of disparaging him, that's, you know, to me that was a little bit disappointing. But it is what it is.
I'm with you. I'm just happy that he got a Stephen A. Smith, because that was the one that got me. I was good with that. Like Stephen A. Smith needed a guy that he had to get checked. Like, I'm glad Kwame checked him. I ain't gonna lie, I'm just happy. I'm happy.
How long do you think they turn this into like a podcast deal for him or some type of business deal?
Soon.
For him?
Soon.
I feel like it's coming.
It's coming. Come on, bro. He got his followers up and everything. He would be smarter. He'd be smart too. I mean, it's coming, bro. It's coming. Matt Barnes ain't stupid either, though. Don't get it twisted. He ain't stupid either.
But what's the subject matter after this, right?
Yeah.
Like, do people really want to hear Kwame Brown speak, or do they just want to hear him kind of spew negativity towards anyone who's been negative towards him, who's been negative towards him, you know, in the media, right?
That's
so,
true.
Like, what's the point? You know, what's the end game, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he has to take advantage.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. He just got to take advantage. He does have to take advantage of this platform. One way, I don't know how he can do it, to be real with you, because you're right, Will, because it. For me, and I thought this was quite entertaining. I was all over, you know, YouTube, whatever, Instagram, trying to hear anything Kwame had to say. But now I'm getting to a point where, like, I'm kind of like, I'm done with it. I think I've heard enough. So, like, but again, he has to take advantage of the situation because he does have a following. He has a following. So now it's like, all right, you know, I've done this. What am I going to do next? But, you know, Matt and Matt Barnes ain't stupid. I would want to get him on All About the Smoke too, though. I would try to get Kwame ASAP. You know what I'm saying? I would try to get Kwame, because that's ratings for real. Like, that's thorough ratings. So you got everybody trying to take advantage of this Kwame thing, man. Don't get it twisted. Even the dudes that beefing with him.
Yeah, I mean, sure. you know, most people, you know, when you're in that, I mean, look at us. Like, we, you know, if you're into the podcast, like, whether you're doing it as a profession or you're doing leisurely like us, you want to attract as many listeners as possible. Mm-hmm. And if you're Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, why not have Kwame Brown on your podcast and you all can discuss it? Because, you know, just the advertisement, you know, Kwame Brown on All of the Smoke is going to draw eyes, because people want to see negativity. They want to see a fight. They want to see, you know, some type of argument, or, sure, you know, some manifestation of what's been going on between those three going back and forth, how it manifests.
Facts. You know what I'm saying? So true. But you want to get to our next question? We got to talk playoffs. We've been doing Kwame. Kwame's cool, though, but I'll let Will do the next question.
Just one question for you, man. The first round games have been exciting. What's your favorite series this far, and why?
Is this for me?
Yeah, it's for you, bro. You the star, bro. You the star, man. We gotta let
go,
bro.
Oh. My favorite series, it's clear to me. It's definitely that Lakers Suns series for me. There's a lot riding on this series for me, man, because I've been on the Suns all year. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows I'm a big Chris Paul guy. I've been a big Chris Paul supporter his whole career. So, and I've gotten more, I guess, boisterous over the years, I guess, because Chris Paul gets so much hate. Mm. And I don't really understand why. So it's, you know, it's kind of weird. So I've been a big Chris Paul supporter lately. So I'm definitely rooting for the Suns and Lakers. I mean, the Suns, obviously, against the Lakers. Mm. And I really think they could pull this series out, man. I know a lot of people are not giving them a chance, but I've watched every single game this year. I've seen how complete they are as a team. Mm-hmm. They're complete on the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball. Chris Paul is the quarterback of that team, we know. But not only that, is that I know a lot of people are talking about the lack of experience for the young guys on the Suns. But even though they have lack of playoff experience, they really have been playing in big games. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of the first years, clearly, of their career that they've kind of gone from the hunters to the hunted, like a lot of people say. Mm-hmm. So since they've been sort of close to the top all year, pretty much, a lot of teams were looking at them as one of the upper echelon teams and were giving them their best shot. Mm-hmm. So guys like Booker and Ayton and Mikal Bridges, they've taken on that defensive assignment and that offensive assignment all year and really stepped up to the challenge. So I think Chris Paul definitely got the troops ready. And I know it's a tough task to beat the Lakers, but there are tactical advantages that the Suns do have, mm-hmm, to help them in order to pull this series out. And I think we saw some of it in game one.
Yeah, Will, follow up.
I got a follow-up question for you, Jess. All right, you said you think that Phoenix can pull off. Well, it wouldn't be an upset. You think that they can defeat the Lakers, right? We know that the NBA ratings have been down. Do you think if LeBron James were to exit the playoffs in the first round that the general public would just kind of say, all right, I'm not interested?
I think there's going to be a few people that do that, but I think generally that happens sometimes regardless, because I think people, depending on who's playing. But I do think the NBA is going to be a little bit tight, that they got that there's no LeBron or no Steph in the playoffs. Mm. But honestly, to me, I don't care. You know, us people who watch basketball, we want to see that shit. Listen, the best team has to win, no matter who it is. I know the refs are going to try, so it's definitely going to be the Suns versus the Lakers and the refs. So I don't know if you guys even noticed, too, game one, that the Lakers shot 17 free throws in the first half, and the Suns shot zero in the first half. So, listen, they already started the nonsense already. But I do think the league probably will be a little tight if LeBron is out in the first round, but I don't care. I think it'll bring more intrigue to the playoffs, actually, because especially at that point, anybody can win if the Lakers are out, because there's truly no juggernaut. So
yeah.
I think it will add actually more intrigue, and I think it will force the media to actually start talking about more players rather than LeBron all damn day.
Hey, you know I'm a Laker fan, man. You really like I see what you're doing right now.
I know. it's too much LeBron, man. Listen, Wale, man, I don't know, fellas, if y'all saw First Take this morning, but you know there's a lot of playoff basketball going on, right?
Yeah.
And the second topic on First Take today, the second topic was, which LeBron James was the best? Heat LeBron, Cavs LeBron, Lakers LeBron. I'm sitting here like, what kind of question is that? That has nothing to do with playoff basketball right now.
Yeah, man.
So they're going to have to figure it out when your boy is out, man.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, bro, like, hey, Chris Paul being, like, semi-hurt, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm having hope for that. I'm on one knee hurt because I do like Chris Paul. Like, Will and I, we both love Chris Paul. When we're with you, we think that Chris Paul doesn't get the amount of attention that he does deserve. And he gets too much hate. I do agree. Like, a lot of situations about his early exits weren't really on him. You know what I'm saying? But they want to put it on him. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Suns, I told my boy Ray this. And I was like, yo, the Suns are real. They're legit. Like, it's not – they play the Lakers. Not like this is not going to be easy any which way. You know what I'm saying? Because – and to me, and we talked about this dude all the time, like, Ayton. Like, I think Ayton is the key. Like, you get – like, because I feel like he's a problem. Like, I've always said – I told you this. I think Ayton is a problem because he's so talented. He's so gifted. It's not about skill. It's not about skill with him because he got that. You know what I'm saying? So, hopefully, you know – they put it together, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, like, I mean, I'm not for the Lakers, you know what I'm saying? I hope Lakers put it together. So I don't want the Suns to put it together. But if the Suns play the way they can play, they can go as far as anybody. So I'm with that, man. They can go as far as anybody.
Yeah.
Before we gotta speed this up, but before I wanna ask you a question. What is the most compelling storyline in this series then? I mean this playoffs for you. Non-Suns.
the most compelling, I would say there might be a couple, but I would say number one, who's actually going to come out the West, because I do think every team in the West can beat each other, in my opinion. So I do think whoever comes out the West is going to be a dogfight. Mm-hmm. And also, who can actually challenge the Nets in the East, because there's too much firepower going out there now. So now earlier in the playoffs, my pick to upset the Nets was actually the Celtics, but this was right before Jaylen Brown got hurt when I first did that episode. So I was pissed about that because I actually felt like the Celtics could really match up very well with the Nets if they had Jaylen Brown, of course, because they have two-way threats that they can actually match the Nets bucket for bucket if they had all their firepower there, but that's not happening. So I don't know if the Bucks have enough to beat the Nets, man. I like Giannis, but he's still not ready yet. He's still got to upgrade his game in the East. I still think the Heat really could give him some problems. I think that's going seven. So in Philly, I don't really trust them yet. I really don't trust them fully. So the Knicks too is a great story, and I actually felt like the Hawks do have the better team.
They do, yeah.
But the Knicks may be actually pulling it out because the way that they play together. So there's a lot of storyline, man. I don't know if I could choose one in particular. There's a lot.
All right, so I have one more question before we let you go. In your opinion, which team has to worry the most? Now you can say the Lakers, but which team has to worry has to be scared the most? Which team should be worried the most? Who's worried? Who should be really, really worried? Like, which team should be worried, like, the most? Like, it should be on red alert right now.
I would say the Clippers should be on red alert right now.
Luka ready, though. Luka ready.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Because it's bad, too, because they tank to play them. But, man, when I saw that first game, I don't know if you saw me on Twitter, but before the game, I called how important Tim Hardaway Jr. is to this Mavericks team. And Tim Hardaway Jr., he showed up in that game one, man. When he's hot, when he start hitting them threes, he could really get you a quick 20 to 25 really quick. And he's really the key to that offense. So the Clippers need to be scared, man, because the Mavs can score. And that's really, really where where they're going to run into trouble. I know a lot of people love playoff Rondo, but he's not a savior. He can't guard everybody.
Yeah, you're right. He's definitely...
He can't guard Luka. As we can see, he can't guard Luka. So I don't know what Kawhi got to guard Luka, man. I don't want to hear any nonsense about that. Kawhi got to take that assignment, man.
Yeah, I agree. He got to. He gets a lot of leeway because we deal with Toronto. But this is the matchup he got to take on. He got to own this one. He got to own this one because Luka.
Oh wait, fellas. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you guys, how you feel about your Wizards? Do you think they got a chance? I know y'all out there in D.C., but they got a chance against Philly or what?
We just talked about this prior. Nah, they don't got a chance. They don't play no defense. Mm-hmm. Will, you agree with me, right? You think they got a chance?
No, I totally agree with you. I don't think the Wizards have a chance.
Yeah.
Man. I think the best.
Not one game?
I can get one. I mean, that's a gentleman sweep. Isn't that what it's called? A gentleman sweep? Getting one game?
I don't even think they get one game. I think they make it very interesting, you know, the two games at home. But I think Philadelphia takes this 4-0.
Yeah.
No faith.
Hey, the dude that's missing tonight is Ray, our other co-host. He would say yes, like that. He's the Wizards fan of the group. Like he is the actual Wizards fan.
Ooh.
So he probably would give you all types of reasons why the Wizards can pull it out. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Ish Smith too, man.
He balled,
bro. He's becoming one of my favorites, man.
Nah, he balled. We just talked about he balled, man. I thought he balled in game one. You know what I'm saying? But they're gonna need a lot more than Ish. This series is a tough one. It's definitely a tough one. But hey, thanks my man for being on. Before I let you go, tell our listeners about the current pod and the pod you got going down the pike, coming down the pike, the episode I mean, and also how they can catch you on social media. And when, bro, we gotta do an NBA show together, that because I feel like this segment too short. There's so much that we could talk about.
First of all, 100%. Yeah, we definitely need a whole segment, man. Because if you know, we could go all day with that. But of course, I appreciate you, fellas. Wale, Will, appreciate y'all inviting me on the show, man. It was a pleasure as always. Yeah, of course, I got a new episode coming out. I'm not sure what day I'm gonna do it this week because I'm gonna see what type of games pile up. Because I want to go crazy talking about Suns and Lakers, so I need some juice in there first in that series. But yeah, man. So check out the pod anywhere you listen: Apple, Spotify, Above the Rim Podcast. On Twitter, you can follow me at JustBlaze_513. That's JustBlaze_513. And check me out, man, fellas. You know we're gonna be sparring, especially you're gonna see me out there tonight because that Lakers Suns game, you're about to be live.
Oh yeah, you know it, man. It's gonna be lit. So you already know. So you're gonna see me on Twitter ASAP.
Yep. Of course. Appreciate the invite, fellas.
Anytime, bro. All right.
No, anytime, man.
My man.
Right.
All right, man.
Take it easy, man.
Again, make sure you follow Just Blaze on Twitter at JustBlaze_513. Will T, you take us to break, bro. Oh, man, Will T.
Yeah.
I said you going to take us a break.
No. Yeah, we have 2 megabytes this summer. We'll talk about both after the break. The Urban Sports Scene.
On Amplifier Media. What it do? I'm your homie, Wole, with the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amplifier Media. And I'm here to tell you about Monkey Knife Fight. Monkey Knife Fight is the fastest growing sports gaming platform in North America, while being the third largest daily fantasy sports platform. It's easy to play. Users don't have to spend all day analyzing salary caps and lineups like other daily fantasy sports sites. It also offers all the major sports plus UFC, golf, esports, soccer, college basketball, NASCAR, and much more. Plus, users won't compete against thousands of professionals with algorithms like other daily fantasy sports sites. That crap can be annoying. Monkey Knife Fight has various jackpot contests such as Home Run Derby, which is the MLB $5,000 jackpot on Fridays, and Eagle Eye, which is the PGA $2,500 jackpot on Thursdays. Sign up now and get your chance to win the bag. Go to www.monkeyknifefight.com. Again, that is www.monkeyknifefight.com. And don't forget to sign up using the code URBAN. Again, that's URBAN. That's URBAN, URBAN. Hey, help me make you great. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole, on Ampire Media. All right. Excuse me, sorry. It was announced that Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence will battle August 21st. Will, were you surprised when you heard the news? And what were your thoughts on the mega fight? What are your thoughts on the mega fight?
Was I surprised? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Was it the fight that I was expecting? Yeah. if you look at it, right, both of them are aligned to PBC boxing. Both of those guys had essentially gone through the other top fighters at 147. Mm-hmm. So where else was there? Who else was there for these two guys to fight, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if the fight was going to stay in-house. Now, one thing we know for sure, it wasn't going to be either one of them fighting Terrence Bud Crawford. That just didn't make sense at this time with the country not fully open from sports venues at 100% capacity in certain states and certain regions in the country. So it just didn't make sense for Bud Crawford to fight Errol Spence. That's a fight that's probably in Vegas and, you know, at Alliance Stadium, and could sell out, but it'd probably have like 50,000 fans. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that fight is ready to happen for the simple fact that there's a growing disparage between the level of competition or perceived level of competition that Errol Spence is for,
yeah,
and Bud Crawford is for. And it won't be, Bud Crawford's already stated the fight will be 50-50, right? As mm-hmm. far as the purse. Now, as Errol Spence continues to fight higher level competition and he continues to look better against that competition, I don't think we'll get that fight for some time being, because Errol Spence wouldn't be inclined to give him 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, and why would he though, right? Let's be real. Like, once you get to and this is the thing that we're talking business side of everything, but still, I mean, it's still all in the boxing game. But and this is why I was saying that when folks were talking about Bud Crawford and Pacquiao even going that route, right? People get amped like, yo, yeah, Pacquiao and Bud gonna happen, like it's gonna happen. And I'm thinking to myself, so you really think that Al Heyman's gonna give Bud Manny Pacquiao before he gives Earl Manny Pacquiao? Like, would that make any sense? No, what he's gonna do is gonna give Earl Pacquiao. He's gonna get that fight because I believe he promised Earl mega fights anyway. I mean, I say he promised, but the assumption was that he promised to help get Earl, you know, where he wanted to be at in terms of notoriety and being one of the best names in boxing. And how do you do that? Well, you get one of the better names in boxing, who is Manny Pacquiao, a legend. You know what I'm saying? A guy that, to me, is even now, is probably a bigger draw than Errol Spence. You're getting, you know, so you're getting to fight that individual to help you put yourself to a different bracket. And I think Al Heyman, as a promoter, has done that for his fighter. And I expect him to do that for his fighter. Now, you know, for him to let Pacquiao go fight somebody else to uplift that fighter, in terms of boxing business, I didn't see that happening. So this is the fight that I expected to happen. I didn't expect it to happen in this summer. I'm not going to lie to you, but it is going to happen. And I know I feel bad for Bud and the fact that, yo, if you thought Earl was doing you dirty before, you, bruh, it's going to be much worse in terms of what you're going to ask for in terms of pricing, because it won't be 50-50. It may not even be, shoot, man, what? I mean, what do you think would be in terms of negotiation if Earl beat Manny Pacquiao? What would that be like? What, like, how would that in negotiation work? Would it be 60? I don't even know if it would be 60-40, bruh.
I mean, it would have to be 60-40, or they would have to come to some conclusion if both men feel confident in their ability to beat the other one. Mm-hmm. Then win against 60,
all?
I'm not 60, lose all, against
yeah.
40.
Yeah, 40, yeah. I know, man. It's hard, man. Like, and I feel for Bud because he's that skilled, but it's difficult, man. It really is, because now it puts. Go ahead.
It's difficult, and not only that, as Errol Spence continues to fight on these pay-per-view cards, and he's the main attraction. The first thing he's going to say is, "Okay, what are your pay-per-view numbers?"
Exactly, bro.
You're not fighting on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You're not bringing in the viewers that I'm bringing in. So mm-hmm. why should I give you 50-50?
Yeah, but on the flip side, I do think it's definitely the toughest fight that Errol has had. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can say that Kell Brook at that particular point in time when he fought him may have been his toughest, even with Pacquiao. I mean, Pacquiao now. Compared to Kell Brook back then, you can make an argument that Kell Brook was probably his toughest. Porter was tough too.
Porter
was good. It was tough too. Those are tough boxers too. He's a tough fight, and he's still a tough fighter. So yeah, but I do think Pacquiao is his toughest opponent. I will say that. I think Pacquiao, because you know, one, he's Pacquiao. He's an all-time great, one of the best boxers ever to do it. And also, it's different too, right, Will T? And we can talk about this in terms of any sport or any genre, but Pacquiao has fought at the highest level with the brightest lights. And this is going to be the brightest light that Errol Spence has ever seen. So there's something about being experienced in that situation, right?
Absolutely. Excuse me. Fighting in major, on major cards, matches where, all the hype surrounding the fight and going up to the fight, all the press obligations, excuse me, things of that nature. It's going to be really one thing that I'm really interested to see is if Manny Pacquiao was still as fast and is still has that hand and foot speed.
Yeah.
How does Errol Spence neutralize that?
Right. Yeah.
Errol Spence is a physically larger boxer. Longer arm reach, but how does he deal with that speed? And if Manny Pacquiao is able to weave his way inside with Errol Spence, is Pacquiao strong enough to hurt Spence?
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, and that's the thing. It's tough. It's depending on what Pacquiao we're going to see, right? I think that's what it all depends on. That's what makes this fight so interesting, right? What Pacquiao are we going to see, right? If Pacquiao shows dips into the fountain of youth, this one fight. And it's not like as if Pacquiao's fought in bad anytime we've seen him. Like recently, he's fought in, it's a different competition though, right? We're talking about Errol Spence, you know, because a lot of people wrote off Pacquiao when he fought Keith Thurman. They were like, oh, he ain't beating Keith Thurman. And he pretty much owned that fight. So but this is a different monster though. This is not Keith Thurman. This is Errol Spence. So it's like to your point. What's
that,
Will?
It's great that, I said, no, it's great that not only are we going to see this fight, but we'll also get an opportunity to see two mega, well, I won't consider them mega heavyweight fights, but two heavyweight fights that should be extremely competitive during the summer also.
And speaking about that fight, it was announced that, and we mentioned it earlier, it was announced that Wilder Fury 3 is going down July 24th. I mean, like, this summer's getting real, bro. This is the summer of boxing right now. This is what you want as a boxing fan. And, bro, like, what was your – I know you said this is what he deserves, and they actually made it – they signed a deal. It's official. Are you excited for this trilogy, bro?
Absolutely, I'm excited for this fight. This is a fight that, in my opinion, should have gone – it is the right fight. Mm-hmm. Well, both of these guys, they signed a contract. They had a legal obligation. Now, we know that the second fight was not as competitive. So if you're Tyson Fury, if it wasn't competitive, then you go in the ring and you beat Deontay Wilder's ass a second time. Mm. And then you could prep, then you go on to fighting Anthony Joshua. But if Deontay Wilder was inhibited by the heavy ring out, outfit that he wore to the ring, and then the alleged cheating or packing of the glove by Tyson Fury, then you get a chance for revenge. And it should be a highly contested fight. And I'm hoping that it's round 13 of the first fight opposed to the the third fight, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I definitely know.
First fight was very, very entertaining.
It was interesting.
And highly contested.
It was an interesting fight. I mean, the first fight, I actually still, even with the knockout, because I only had, like, on my card, when I was doing my cards, other than the knockdown, you know, I barely gave, what's his face? Wilder rounds. I think the last knockdown, yeah, I mean, it made it super tight, but I still had, you know, Fury with the edge because Fury had still won most of the rounds. When we're talking about just the boxing element of the fight, he deserves it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you still, like you mentioned, Will, and I was speaking as a fan and joking around saying, like, you hate no Anthony Joshua. How come we can't get the Joshua fight? But in terms of all honesty, you know, you signed a deal, right? You signed the contract. This is what it is. You can't, just because something has fell in your lap and is an opportunity to make this fight. Nah, bro, you made the arrangement to fight Deontay Wilder it was a three fight deal. So it is what it is. This is what you promised. This is what it is. So the same thing, the same thing happened to Anthony Joshua in terms of their deal of if they went down, is a two fight deal, Will T, or was it a three fight deal with Joshua? What the reports were initially.
Two fight deal,
right? So the same thing happened to that. And he tried to renege on that. Then, you know, the Joshua camp could be pissed off and do the same thing. So at the end of the day, you know, you made a deal with Deontay Wilder. And now it's up to Deontay Wilder, to me, you know, to become a better, I mean, to improve on some of the things, improve on his profession, his work, to make this fight. The fight that he wants to, for the outcome, for him to have the outcome that he wants. You know what I mean? You can't go into this fight being Deontay Wilder that we saw 1-2, regardless of, like, we all know you have the punching power, but there are things you have to do to win rounds and win this fight. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's great that you have the punching power and you can just eliminate somebody on a drop of a dime, but you can't always bank on a knockout, right? It's just like playing baseball. You can't bank on hitting a home run, right? So you're just going to have to beat a dude, or, you know what I'm saying, you got to beat a dude or dominate a fight, right? Which way you have to do it. So hopefully, you know, he's putting in the work. I mean, from the YouTube clips, from the Instagram clips, it looks like he is putting in the work. But it's totally different when you get into that ring, bro. Like, we know this. We've seen dudes do this on – we've watched the 24/7s on HBO or, you know, whatever the Showtime's – Showtime's comparison to that, and we've seen dudes work, it seemed like they work hard, and when they get into that ring on fight night, you know, with all the cameras on, they go back to who they naturally are. So hopefully, you know, he's putting in the work and he's gonna, you know, showcase what he's worked on.
I can't wait to see this fight. Yeah. I can't wait to see it's not officially signed yet, a potential fight for Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Yeah.
Versus, we discussed it with Alexander Usyk.
Mm-hmm.
I said that correctly, right?
Yeah, you said it. Usyk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you said it right.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know what it is, man. It's my allergy.
Yeah, don't worry. I was getting killed the other day, bro.
All right. With Fury not fighting Anthony Joshua, what does that mean for AJ?
Man, I mean, I think what you just said is Usyk. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a great fight, though, but I think that's a dangerous fight. I think we talked about that. We talked about that a couple days ago. I just think that's a dangerous fight, though. I think that fight can jeopardize. If you want to fight Fury, I think that fight can definitely jeopardize it. Because I think he has the skill set to beat Anthony Joshua. Like, I really believe that. Like, more than anybody else, to be real with you. I really believe that he can beat Anthony. I think he has the skill set. He's super skilled, man. Like, he is. He's super skilled. Hand speed, like you mentioned, he was a cruiserweight. He's a talented dude, man. And for a while, I don't think people, if you paid attention to him, and I'm sure you have, Will T, because you acknowledge you're very knowledgeable of the boxing game. I remember, like, Max Kellerman talking about him when he was with HBO. He would talk about Usyk a lot, talking about how he had him on his pound for pound list, high on his pound for pound list at that particular point in time. So you know this is a dangerous fighter, like, you know, and then you know it's just off of skill alone, he could be a problem.
Yeah, he's probably, in all honesty, he's probably the best cruiserweight fighter we've seen
since Vander.
since Evander Holyfield. Yeah, I was going to say that since Evander Holyfield. Like a total fighter, you know, a guy with speed, a guy with power, a guy with very good ring generalship. So if that fight is made, which in all all indications are looking as if that will be the next fight for Anthony Joshua, it'll be a fight to look out. It'll be a fight for us to look out for, and it'll probably be a fight that's made sometime around the September timeline.
Okay, because I was like, we're doing the summer, bro. This summer about to be lit for real. This fight in the summer, too. I'm about to say, like, yo, this may be the best boxing summer we've seen in a minute. But I do have a question to ask for you before we jet off this show. You know, it's about Bud. I'm going back. Since Bud isn't going to fight, well, it looks like the Earl, he's not getting Earl. He's not getting Pacquiao. So is Bud getting what we saw, the winner out of what we saw on Saturday, because we saw Taylor put in some work against Ramirez? Will Bud be seeing one of those dudes? Will he be seeing Taylor?
I think that's the most logical next step for him. I mean, you would have to, if he were to fight Josh Taylor would probably need to fight at 147, right, to, you know, see how he can, to see if he could handle the jump up from 140 to 147, see how, if his power transfers to 147, but we've also seen a guy from lightweight jump up to 147 in the past. We saw Shane Mosley jump up from lightweight to 147 to fight Oscar De La Hoya. So both of those, you know, Bud Crawford and Josh Taylor both are under the top ranked umbrella without a lot of options for Terrence Bud Crawford. Outside of possibly a fight with Sean Porter, a Josh Taylor fight makes sense, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so. Bud is really, it's very limited, man. Unless there's a surprise, it's very limited, man. Real talk. And I feel for him, man, because he's too talented of a dude for this to be happening. To be real with you, he's just too talented for this to be happening.
Yeah, I hate this. This is the thing I hate with boxing, man. The politics and the allegiance to
promotions.
One cable platform.
Yeah,
not just one promotional platform, but just one broadcasting platform.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I totally
agree.
That's
why boxing may continue to get left behind. Other combat sports like UFC.
But I mean, if they can pull the summer off, though, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, they can come back, because I mean they can gain some momentum, because this summer it looks like it could be something really special. It really could be.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and tune in iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Search the Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amppire Media, at amppiremedia.com. And the show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all Amppire Media shows as well as other great content. Again, thanks you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Appreciate my man Just Blaze for being on the show. Will T and myself, we appreciate everybody. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.